Good morning. It is, as always, so good to see everyone here. We appreciate your presence. Appreciate the visitors that we have. We thank you for coming out and joining with us as we open up the Word of God and study from the things that are found therein. It is my hope that we will be as much of an encouragement to you as you are to us. And it is always my prayer that we might be able to encourage one another in the singing of these songs, in the reading from the Scripture, and hopefully, as far as my part plays out, in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prayer. Prayer is something that I've been thinking about a little bit more personally for several reasons. First of all, it's some personal questions that I have about prayer, some things that have been said, and some personal thoughts on prayer, and so I've been kind of focusing on it. And then both of my children have asked me questions about prayer, and so that caused me to think about it some more. And then, you know, you have the election, and if there's ever a time to pray for America, this is the time to be praying. And then the hurricane coming through and praying for those that are in Haiti and those that are in Cuba and those that are in the path of destruction throughout the U.S., in Florida, and the Carolinas. On top of all that is the recognition, as I've been thinking about prayer, that I don't pray as much as I should. And so, you know, if I need to hear a lesson on prayer, perhaps others would do well to hear a lesson on prayer as well. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, there in our scripture reading, we read in the English Standard Version, it reads, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." The New American Standard Bible reads there, "Devote yourselves to prayer." The King James Version reads, "Continue in prayer." And the New King James Version reads, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." It's quite obvious by looking at this passage and seeing the various ways that it's translated that it is God's will, it is His desire for us that we pray to Him. Knowing God's will in various aspects of our life can be a difficult thing. There are some things that Paul refers to them as liberties. Others would refer to them maybe as a gray area, that it depends on where you are in your spiritual development as to whether or not you should or should not take part in certain activities. And there's a lot of things that you know, there's a discussion going on. Can a Christian do this or can a Christian do that? And really it comes up to a personal point of view and understanding of the Scriptures as to whether or not you should or should not in many things. But there are some things in the Scriptures that are very clear, that there's no wondering whatsoever as to whether or not it is God's will. And prayer is one of those things. As we see there, we are told to continue steadfastly in prayer, to be devoted to it. But before we start focusing on the meaning of the words continuing steadfastly and being watchful, or even discussing the frequency, location, quantity, or method of praying, I think it would be good for us to take some time and to think about this fact that God wants us to be praying to Him. And to really get into that, we have to ask the question, what is prayer? A lot of people have a lot of different thoughts about prayer, and to understand this, we really ask the question, and it's defined simply as an address a solemn request or expression of thanks to a deity. When you look at as in its modern definition, and really when you look at all that we have throughout the Scriptures, that's what it is. Simply put, it means asking God for things. Making a request of God. Now, not asking for a new car or asking for stuff and the things that we get focused on, kind of like a kid in a toy store. Mom can have this, dad can have this, mom can have that. That's not what we're talking about here. But really, it's referring to what our heart desires or needs. And if we really understand it, and if we can keep this in our mind, what we need most is God. To know Him. To trust Him, to love Him, and to obey Him. And so, we see that prayer is making a request of God. Now, prayer involves other things as well. Yes, prayer involves confessing our sins. Prayer involves giving thanks to God. It involves giving praise to God.
In a broad sense, prayer involves all this, but even when we look at the offering or the repentance of sin, the confessing of our sins, what are we doing in the confession of our sins? We're asking God a question, asking Him to forgive us of the things that we've done. We're showing His appreciation for the questions that He has answered in these prayers. When you look at prayer throughout the Scriptures, this idea of continued steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, thankfulness to God should always be a part of our prayers. When we're asking God for something, think about it with your parents. If you ask them with a thankful attitude and a grateful personality for all that they've done, are they more likely to extend to you what you're asking for? If you come up to them and go, "I want this," and you have this attitude of you deserve everything, most good parents will be like, "Well, you're not going to get that." And that's the thing, when we're approaching God, we approach with thankfulness, recognizing that it is through Him that we receive everything. If you look over in Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 6, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians there in the congregation of Philippi, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Our request made known to God with thanksgiving. Again, the simple answer of what is prayer? It's asking God. And as we see here in Philippians 4, verse 6, it's asking God with a thankful heart. Thankful that He's willing to listen. Thankful that He cares. Thankful that He answers, even when He doesn't give us the answer that we want. It's been said that prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And that's a pretty good summation. Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God for things that are acceptable to His will. Remember Jesus, when He was praying in the garden, He was asking God a question, but He always finished that question with the statement, "Thy will be done." And that should always be our attitude. Main purpose of prayer is asking God a question. Now, the thing that I would like for us to really come to understand this morning is that God loves to be asked. Anyone who has kids will attest to this. Kids reach a certain stage to where 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, they're asking questions. Why is the sky blue? Why is this? Why is that? What is this? What is that? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? What are you reading? How long are you going to be reading that? Can we watch this? Can we watch that? Can we do this? Can we do that? And it just goes on and on until you finally break. You get, stop asking questions. And we don't want to be that way, but we do. I don't think there's a single parent alive that hasn't reached that point where there's just stop asking questions. We want to be the parent that our children feel that they can come to and they can ask us anything. But we get annoyed by the amount of the questions, by the stupidity oftentimes of the questions. But you see, God isn't like that. God doesn't tire of us coming to Him incessantly. God actually wants us to come to Him frequently. He wants us to come to Him for everything. He wants us to be 100% dependent on Him. Think about that. It's God's will that we pray. He actually delights in the fact that we approach Him on a frequent basis. In Proverbs 15 and verse 8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." I love my kids. And I want them to come to me and ask me questions. But I've made that statement of not now. But I can see and I can understand throughout a study of the Scriptures that God is never that way. If you look in Isaiah chapter 62. In Isaiah chapter 62, there in verse 6, Isaiah writes the words of God. He says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. Now, listen to what the prophet Isaiah is saying is the word of God. He says, I've appointed individuals in Jerusalem, and their job is to pray day in and day out, to constantly remind God, put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. God appoints people to give him no rest, but to remind him and to never keep silent. That's God's will. That's God's desire. Remember Moses, when he brought the people out of the land of Egypt, and the people were just coming to him with every issue. And Moses' father-in-law, he said, look, you've got to appoint some others to help you take care of this. You're going to kill yourself trying to take care of every little situation. But God, he's able to do that. And he wants us to pray to him. When you really stop and think about it, it's a most encouraging thing to our faith and to our hope. That God is never like our parents. Little Johnny, you need to be quiet. Mom or dad have had a long day at work and they don't want any of your questions tonight. That's never the case with God. We know that no matter where we are in our life, no matter how frequently we go to him, that his desire is that we pray to him. That the prayer of the righteous is his delight. God loves to be asked for things. You see, when you understand this fact, that God is love, then you can see that it is in his nature to be a giver. If you look over in the book of Acts, there in Acts chapter 17, as the Apostle Paul is preaching there at Mars Hill, and he's trying to instruct them upon this God that they weren't sure about, you know, this unknown God, he says, let me tell you about him. And he says in Acts 17 and verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God has provided us with everything that we need. God wants to give to us because he loves us. He has a great concern for us. Paul quotes Jesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 when he's talking to the Ephesian elders there at the seaside port of Miletus, and he's reminding them of all that he had done. He says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, God, he wants to give. It's a great blessing. He is by nature a giver. Those who are full are able to give to others. Getters look needy because that's what they are. We need help from others. We need something, but givers look self-sufficient. And in prayer, we see that we are the needy ones, and God is the only one, the only being that is truly self-sufficient. In Romans chapter 11, there in verse 33, Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Paul says, how can we even begin to comprehend all that God is? All that God has done. All that God has made available. And he says, what can we bring to him that we can say, I've paid you back for what you've done? You see, God desires to give. We are the ones in need. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 50, verse 15, that God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God says, call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will glorify me. Jesus spoke of this when he spoke to the apostles there in John chapter 14. As he's giving instructions to them, there in verse 13 of John chapter 14, he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Why? So that God would be glorified. He will do whatever it is that is asked of Him so that God would be glorified in the Son. Now take a moment to just think about that. To really try to comprehend all that is being said here. God wills that we pray to Him. It is actually His delight that we spend time frequently asking Him for the things that we need, the things that we truly need, praying that His will be done. He delights in it and truly desires it and enjoys it. It's something He longs for. God is love. Therefore, God is a giver. He can provide us with everything. He is utterly self-sufficient. He has need of nothing. And so therefore, He wants to provide to those who are in need. He delights in bestowing His grace on humble, dependent people. This indicates that prayer is about as central to the meaning of the created universe as one can get. God created us for His glory. In Isaiah 43, there in verse 7, Isaiah says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." This means that God created the universe just so that we, those created in His image, would look to Him to satisfy all of our wants and all of our needs so that we can experience joy and God be glorified. The meaning of life. We're created in the image of God so that we can look to Him and to find the joy that comes only in Him. You see, to sum it all up, we need to understand prayer is not some small thing. It's not something we do to kind of go in between the singing on Sundays or to fill in a gap here and there. It's not something we just do because it's checked. We've got to move it off the list and go on with our day. It's not something that should be just floating around the periphery of our life. It's not some incidental portion of the Christian life. There's a lot of study that has been given to time and space and matter and trying to understand all these things throughout the histories of the scientists. And after thousands of years, the question remains, where does man fit in all these things? And the best answer that most scientists give is, well, we've just come further than everybody else. And that's the best answer that they can offer. Really? That's it. We've just taken a step further than everything else that is here in this world. When you look at it, the reality is this. The center of the created universe is man created in the image of God. We didn't just take a step further than everyone. We were created special. We were created different than everyone else. The meaning of man in the image of God is that we are here to display the glory of God. The way that God delights in displaying His glory is that in man being dependent on Him through prayer. When you really dwell on this, when you meditate on the fact that we were put here for the purpose of looking to God, and prayer is the way that we speak with God, would that not show us the importance of prayer? The thing that we just, okay, let's stop, bow our heads before we eat. We got to pray. Hold on, we got to pray. It's kind of like when we get up to go to church in the morning, huh? Come on, guys, we got to go to church. Do you understand? We look at prayer as a burden, as a chore, as something we have to do, just like we do our worship to God. But when you look at it in the truth of the matter, that we are taking time to stop and pray to the Creator of all things. And not only that, but that we know that if we're speaking to Him, the Creator of all things is listening to me. Stop and think about that for just a moment. It's not like knocking on the door, okay, you've got 5 minutes and you can talk to God for 5 minutes, but don't go over your 5 minute time. We've got a bunch of other people. God is able to listen intently and to be aware. He delights in hearing the prayers of this lowly servant that is Tim Henderson. God wants us to pray. I read recently that referred to prayer as inhaling the word and exhaling prayer. And that kind of struck me. And I got to thinking about it. You know, we live by the word and we live by prayer. Think about it. When you're anxious physically, what do people say when you've got an anxiety attack? What do people say? Breathe in, breathe out. Take in a deep breath. Hold it for a moment, and then let that breath out. And if you put that into practice, by the oxygen going into the body and the actions and everything, the body can physically be calmed. Do you not think the same thing would happen spiritually? Using this when you're stressed, when everything seems to be going wrong, take some time to breathe in deeply from the Word of God. Hold it in. Meditate on it. That's what the psalmist is writing in Psalm 1 and verse 1. Meditate on the Word of God. And then slowly exhale. Breathe out your prayers and petitions to God. That's what we need to be thinking about. That's the importance of prayer is in that. The more we read from the Word of God, the more we understand God, the greater our prayers will be to Him, the more we'll desire to speak to Him, and we'll recognize the blessing that we have in offering up our prayers to God and knowing that the Creator of all things is there and He's listening. Breathe in the Word of God deeply and breathe out your prayers and petitions to God. And let's go back to our text. And just for the remainder of our time this morning, let's look at just a few things there with our text. We read there, in the New American Standard Bible, it reads, devote yourselves in prayer. English Standard and other translations read, continue steadfastly in prayer. The term that we're looking at there, that devotion, that continue steadfastly, is this Greek term right here, and I'm going to do my best not to murder it, proskotereo. That's the one that you find the majority of time when you see this idea of being devoted in prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer, things of that nature. It's translated as continue steadfastly, attend continually, to give oneself to continually. New American Standard Bible Dictionary defines it as to attend constantly. So that's when you see that word, that Greek word, proskotereo, that's what we're looking at. But there's another word, and this is kind of a root word of it, proskoteresis. I got that right? Hey, I did all right. Proskoteresis. And this is translated as perseverance, steadfastness. Now let's look at some passages where these terms are used and referring to devoting. And keep in mind the definition of these terms, the original terms, and what they mean: to continue steadfastly, to attend continually, not to just do occasionally. It never, ever means that. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, as Jesus gave His final words to the disciples and went up into the heavens, it says, all these, speaking of the disciples and all those that were gathered with Him, were devoting themselves to prayer. Now again, this is that first term, proskotereo. And it means to attend continually, to give oneself continually. So they were giving themselves completely, continually to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and His brothers. They were continually giving themselves in prayer. Look with me, if you would, in the next chapter of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The Apostle Peter and the other apostles have preached there on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls have been added to the Lord's church. They've obeyed the gospel. And we read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Again, this is that first term that means continually devoting oneself to. Not occasional. Not just once or twice a week. They lived it in their life. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And they devoted themselves to the prayers. Going over just a few more chapters in Acts chapter 6. There in verse 4 we have where the problem arose with the Grecian widows being neglected in the daily ministration of food. And the apostles come together and says, it's not good for us to leave the preaching of the gospel and wait tables. It says, we will devote ourselves. He says, you choose some guys to take care of this. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, stop and think about how important this is. The Apostle Peter and the other apostles are saying, okay, the fact that we've got some people that are being neglected, that's an important deal, and this needs to be taken care of. And so we need to get y'all to find some men that will take care of this issue so that it won't cause a problem. But we have something greater to do, and it's not just speaking the Word of God. The Apostle Peter and the others said, we will devote ourselves to prayer. We will give ourselves completely to prayer. We will attend continually to prayer. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 12. There in verse 12, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. This is that same term, that continuing steadfastly, that attending continually. Be patient in tribulation. Be continually giving yourself in prayer. Do you see how many times throughout the Scriptures we see this idea of continuing steadfast in prayer, being devoted to prayer, to being constant in prayer? Do you think prayer is just some small thing that is to be thrown to the side or something quickly uttered to God? Hey, thank you for the food, and we're glad that the day's going pretty good, and then we go on with our day? That should never be the attitude of God's children. When we understand that God desires us to pray, that God wants us to pray. And the last thing I want to look at this morning, and we'll hold the rest of this sermon for this evening, because if I keep going in the sermon, you'll be here a lot longer than you might want to be. But let's look there at Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, there in verse 18. Again, the Apostle Paul says, he says there, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance. This is that second term there. That we're using the second term, with all perseverance making supplication for all the saints. Now that second term is defined as simply perseverance, steadfastness. Keep alert with steadfastness, with perseverance, with continual action. Not allowing anything to cause you to waver in making supplication for all the saints. Now, let me ask you a question as we close out our lesson this morning. As we look at these verses and what the Word of God has to say about prayer, how many of us can say that we are truly devoting ourselves in prayer? How many of us can say that we are continuing steadfastly in prayer? That we're keeping alert with all perseverance? That we're following in all these passages that we've looked at? How many of us are doing that? Why not? Stop and think about it this afternoon. Why do not pray to God more? Why is prayer oftentimes an afterthought in my life? Why is prayer something that only comes up when I'm really, really, really struggling with something? I think we'll find, if we're honest with ourselves, that we lack faith just like the Israelites. That we don't truly believe in God. We don't believe that God is the creator of all things and that His greatest desire is that we submit to Him and that we go to Him in prayer. Imagine, if you would, Bill Gates, Mr. Billionaire. Instead of giving all of his money to charity, he said, look, here's my checkbook. Use whatever you want, whenever you want. However you need it, here's my checkbook. Just write out for whatever you need. How frequently would we use that? We'd be like a kid in a candy store. Let's be honest. Our first stop for most of us would probably be going and buying a brand new car. Because what we have isn't good enough. We want something better. And then we would go and we'd use it to go out and we would just buy everything that our heart desired and everything that we needed. And we'd even want to take care of others too, wouldn't we? Now, Bill Gates gave me his checkbook. He said I could use it for whatever. I'm going to buy my mom and dad a new house. A new motorhome. So-and-so's got a lot of medical bills. I'm going to pay off all their medical bills. And we're going to use it in so many different ways. Stop and think about that for a moment. We see the benefit financially. God has given us His checkbook saying, I will take care of anything as long as it's asked according to my will. No matter what situation you're in, no matter how far you are from God, you can turn back and go to Him. Why would that not encourage us to be more diligent, to be more devoted in prayer, to recognize I don't have to do it on my own? The Creator of all things is just waiting for me to come to Him in prayer and to ask what I need according to His will. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, some more this evening. The need to ask according to His will. Because if we're asking according to our will, it's just going wrong. That's like that kid in the store who's demanding his parents buy him this or demanding his parents buying that. And a good parent will never submit to the demands of their children. And the same is true with God. Lord willing, this evening, we'll look at this some more. And so I encourage you, please, come back and join with us as we study about this and try to understand more and to look at some practical applications. Because we might go, okay, I recognize the need to pray, but how do I go about it? How should I go and pray to God? What should I pray for? And so, Lord willing, this evening, we'll look at that some more and hopefully we can answer some of your questions or at least give you a seed that will help you in further your discovery and your study to God. And so I encourage you to come back this evening at 4 o'clock when we gather together to continue this study. But if nothing else, I encourage you to think about your life with God, the way that you have been living and how you have been approaching God. If you get nothing else from the lesson, I encourage you to think about this. The best way to make your life of prayer to God better and more effective is to spend more time in reading and studying His Word, to breathe in the Word of God. And the more that you read from the Word of God, the more you breathe in the Word of God deeply, the more you're going to have something to say to Him. It's kind of like in a physical relationship when two individuals begin to get to know each other. They just kind of chat a little bit, but they don't have much to say. But the more they get to know each other, the more they recognize the care and concern for one another, the more they have to talk. And the more they come to depend on one another, the more they go to one another. And that's the way it is to be with God. We read from the Word of God. And then as we grow in our understanding of God, we breathe out our prayers and petitions to God. I encourage you to take some time this afternoon in praying to God. God wants you to. It's His desire to take time in reading from His Word and offering up your prayers. When you're troubled, when you're filled with anxiety, when the world is just as far away from God as it can be, there's nothing we can do better than to spend time in prayer. So we'll see in our lesson this evening, Daniel was one who prayed for his nation regularly. Even at the threat of death, he saw that prayer to God was the most important thing he can do for his nation. And that's the attitude we need to have, is to recognize that we have this wonderful avenue of prayer. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're missing out. Because when we commit sin in our lives, when we recognize that God has set a path for us and we choose to go in an alternate path, we separate ourselves from God. And as we can see in a study of prayer, God turns His ear away from those who have turned away from Him. And when you've gone down a path of sin, you've separated yourself from God. But you see, God's desire is not that you continue down that path, but that you turn to Him. And no matter how far away from God you are, God is ready and willing to listen to you in that moment. The moment you turn your attention to God, God is listening to you. And if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we encourage you to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of the sins that have separated you from God, and to submit yourself in the watery grave of baptism. Having confessed your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it is in baptism that we're in the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It is in baptism that we're in contact with the blood of Christ that will cleanse us from all of our sins. And we can begin our life with God, being His child and knowing that we can turn to Him in prayer. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, you've taken advantage of that wonderful blessing of becoming a child of God, but you've allowed yourself to get caught up in this world. And you've been looking for answers in this world. And understand that no matter what answers the world gives, the final answer that really matters in all eternity is God. God is able to provide us with the wisdom and the understanding that we need to get through any circumstance. And so if we would give ourselves first to God, we can find our way through anything. We can find the way that God desires. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not remained steadfast and faithful. You're that prodigal son who took the inheritance that God gave you, and you've gone out and you squandered it. Well, just like that prodigal son, as we have mentioned so many times before, as soon as he's turned back and heading towards God, God was watching for him and God ran out to him. And all God is waiting for is for you to pray to him and ask him for forgiveness. Perhaps you're here and you've done things that you recognize has brought shame and reproach upon the church, and you want others to know that's not the way that you want to live anymore, that you want to change. Or you have something you're struggling with and you desire the prayers of the church. Then let us know how we can help you. Whatever your situation might be, don't delay. Make it right with God as we stand and as we sing. Well,